having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Sing along, Terry.
Where you at, Coach?
No, thank you. There's no way I could chime in with that and it would come out good.
No, don't turn that down. You turn it up. Turn it up.
You were telling me to turn it down.
No, I don't want to hear whatever Terry's mumbling back there. This is too good a song.
I was trying to sing along, George.
It didn't come out very good.
It didn't work, bud. It did not work.
Weekend. Okay. So we're now into the weekend, and y'all are not fooling me, okay? You're leaving work early. You're probably lying to your boss. Who cares? It's the weekend. But we want to start our weekend on this show a little early. Now, Terry and Watson have not had to listen to all of this in the last few weeks, so they have no idea where I'm going. But I want to get three calls on the line. For whatever it is may be on your mind, you're out there driving around, your weekend is started. We kind of want to get lazy and crazy as well. 844-5600 is the number. Call now. In the meantime, as I wait for those calls, here are a couple of things we're going to talk about. Number one, Terry, is Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Are you aware that Rutgers is a 53-point underdog at home to Ohio State?
I thought you would take them in the underdog pick, Ben, as they're a home dog, and just jump right, you know, when they win, you jump right to the front of the pack and have it won.
53. I have never seen a line that big before. 53. With an over-under of 62, meaning that Vegas believes that Ohio State will go in there and win 58-4. That's item number one.
That's a good item. Then I'd say it'll happen.
Item number two comes out of my new use of Twitter, where a guy tweets out, why on earth would Mike Fiers call out his old teammates 2 years later? Is he trying to piss off his old teammates? And the answer that he got back from a former Braves reliever, Eric O'Flaherty, is because he made three starts at Minute Maid Park last season, gave up 17 earned runs on 22 hits in only 10 and a third innings.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah. Number three, why is Baylor a 10-point underdog to Oklahoma? Baylor is undefeated. Oklahoma's defense is falling apart, looks like it's on its last legs. And dadgummit, why does Watson have them as the underdog pick instead of me?
Well, if you had picked a game that was any good, I might have switched with you.
Yeah. But I don't believe.
My gracious, I'm not. We got one that we don't even know who the coach is, and you picked him.
I'm not convinced your heart is in the right place on this. And then two other things that I'm hoping some people will get into. the Vandy situation.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I know I am. The Vandy situation. We're now into the middle of November, and we got a coach on the hot seat who got beat 56-0 a week ago. They've got Kentucky tomorrow, who can't throw the football at all, but is still a pretty darn good football team. Then East Tennessee State, then Tennessee to close out the season. I think that the next 2.5 weeks are going to be really interesting when it comes to Vandy. And then on the Tennessee front, could there be a better time for an open date? They're starting to get there. They've got Missouri next week, and they get time to heal up. Man, it seems like a good time for them to get an open date and just relax and enjoy everybody else beating up everybody else. Last thought, and then we go to the phones. I think Auburn's going to beat Georgia tomorrow. What do y'all think?
I think it's entirely possible. Auburn has a fantastic defense. It's just a matter of, can they score any points? And as Watson has pointed out before, they are a much better team at home than they are on the road.
Watson?
Yeah, I think they're going to win. That was going to be my game. It just wasn't enough points. But I thought that was the surefire one on the board. I just feel like Auburn will win the game. And I'm not sure, guys, they're not going to beat Alabama too. And if they do, not for the SEC's sake. Of course, if LSU wins out, it's not going to matter. But, boy, would that throw things into a tizzy if Auburn beats both of them. And we went through the scenario yesterday, George.
Oh, yeah.
You remember where then LSU and Georgia play in the championship because Georgia's got a 2-game lead by beating Florida. And then Georgia knocks off LSU. What a mess you'd have.
Commissioner's office not looking for that.
Oh, no. Believe me, he cringed when we went through that scenario.
3:10 is the time. Our lines are loaded. As soon as a line comes open, I'll let you know. Robert, get us started and welcome into the weekend.
Well, I'm awful happy to be in the weekend, George, and I wanted to address something that we picked up on a little bit the other day, and you said call you back if I had some more details, and I do.
Okay.
This is about the minor league realignment / reduction in rounds of the Major League Baseball draft. And from what I understand, again, this could be wrong. This is more than a proposal. This is pretty much a surety that's going to happen after the 2020 season. It's just a question of the exact new alignment of the leagues and which ones will be abolished and which towns will be left without minor league baseball and all of that. And I know we talked about that's kind of sad for some of those towns because they'll never have pro sports again. But there's some upsides to this that we didn't get into the other day.
And let's hear them.
One of them is the MLB draft is going to be moved away from being during the College World Series, which has always just been incredibly stupid. I mean, can you imagine having the NFL draft the day before the college football playoff final, or that during the Final Four we'll interrupt that and we'll have the NBA draft? I mean,
idiotic.
I know there's a huge difference because casual fans look at the NFL draft and the NBA draft, and you're hardcore if you keep up with the MLB draft or the NHL draft because, it's not guys that are famous outside of their hometown and maybe their school and their family. And it's also guys you're going to see 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road, if then, as opposed to guys you're going to see in the next season. So I realize that the appeal of the draft is a lot lower, but the distraction it is from the guys playing in the College World Series. We saw that last year. I'm surprised that Vanderbilt was able to go on and win with all those guys getting drafted right there as they were in Omaha. So that's a good thing. And there's another good thing. I think that this is going to do a world of good for college baseball. And I don't mean the power conferences. I mean for NAIA college baseball and junior college baseball. I think it's going to help the Olivet Nazarenes and Dravecas and places like that, because there's still a lot of young men that want to play baseball that now aren't going to be picked in round 37 of the Major League Draft. And I hope it'll help the NCAA get over this asinine 11.3 scholarships.
Yeah, first of all, I guess, and Robert, let me let you run here.
Sure.
And we're going to talk about it.
Good deal. Bye-bye.
Okay, he raised a really good point at the end that I want to hit both of these guys on. We have one line open now. 844-5600. Hit it now. Terry.
Yes.
Are you surprised that a baseball player has not sued the NCAA saying that the 11.7 is some communist deal? And why in the world are we putting up with that system? We don't give out football scholarships at 49.3. So why are we doing that to baseball?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, the basic answer is money, because baseball doesn't produce the type of revenue that football or basketball do. And I would be interested to see how many scholarships are awarded to sports like diving or rowing or swimming or tennis or golf, because you wonder if there are full scholarships available for the entire team in those sports at most universities. I honestly don't know the answer to that. Watson, having been an AD, probably would. But, yeah, it's something that has baffled me for a long time, because I know that when my brother was being recruited out of high school, he had some small college interest and whatnot. He was a center fielder, and he was told that he would have to provide half the money in order to play, because the full scholarships went to pitchers.
Watson?
It's always drove me crazy. It came, guys, from basically Title IX. That's what started it, and which I'm a firm believer in women getting equivalent opportunities, 100%, so I don't want to go there. But that's what started this whole thing. And the point thing really means nothing, because nobody in baseball really is on full scholarship. You can go half of that and they still wouldn't get every player. Wouldn't even be on half scholarship that's on the baseball team. It's crazy. Never have understood it. Why it hasn't gone up is beyond me. We bring all this money in. Why wouldn't the Power Five conferences at least, guys, address it? Maybe the Conference USAs of the world, the Group of Five, don't want to address it financially, but why would the Power Fives not jump on that? And why wouldn't the baseball power at B's, George, in the NC2A at these different programs, former coaches, former players that are now playing in the league, why would it not be just jumped on? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I never have understood it. And if we started a something to get it going, that'd be great with me, because this is the craziest thing in the world. I'm sitting there watching the College World Series with really good baseball players there, and they're all doing this with 11 scholarships. Football gets 85.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
85 full scholarships. Yeah, it brings in a lot of money, but it's that. Did all of these NC2A sports guys start back in the 30s, 20s, 40s, all off of money? No, that's not what it was all about. But now it seems like we make decisions completely off of money. And I just, how is that giving the kids, the really good baseball player out there, really good, and his parents have still got to find ways to pay for him to go to school, and he's a really good player. It makes no sense to me.
Stan the Man is up next at 3:17. Stan, what's going on?
Not much. Well, hey, I've got a quick question for Watson and then one for George at the end, and I'll hang up listening to y'all. Hey, Watson, last year I watched North Carolina football, and, man, they was not very good. And they didn't play hard, a lot of mistakes, and when Mac was announced as the head coach, you know, just be honest, I heard, you know, this guy's too old to coach. You know, he's way too old. And I don't get that, but what has he done? I mean, to me, he's turned the program from ugly to beautiful. I mean, they play hard. If they do make mistakes, you don't see people getting on to each other. It's just like they're picking each other up. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. They have lost every single game by one single possession. Now, that very easily, their record could be a January 1st holiday, some kind of bowl game. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm just wondering, what is he doing? You always know how to coach. And it's very – George, I got a question for you. Y'all talking about recruiting and stuff. And I just – when you was at BGA, were you ever illegally recruited? Thanks, George.
Hey, Stan, if he had been recruited, it would have been illegal.
Wow. Well, well, well. Again, another instance where I'm not convinced you have my best interest at heart. Okay.
Are you making a list now?
No, no. By the way, got a line open, 844-5600. Want to see somebody hit that line and fill up the phone lines. Watson, how much of that is that he can walk in and flash a national title ring at those kids? That has to get their attention.
Well, it starts with leadership. You've got to have one guy in charge, and then everybody follows and stays in line. And he felt, I know Mac, I've talked to him 1,000 times about it, and he felt like he had a really good senior class, and that was the good start for him. And I think he just got them all buying in, and they're all headed in the right direction. Sometimes it might not look pretty, but they're, you see that team play, and they're all headed in the same direction. And that's, to me, that he's right. That you see them play hard. I think it also helped him that he got off to a good start. He upsets Miami and South Carolina right out the gate. And they've had a lot of close losses, but they've also had a lot of close wins, which is a credit to the players. They, you know, all their games but Georgia Tech have gone to the wire, win or lose. The other thing, George, is they still have a lot to play for, and that's what I like about the number of bowls. He's 4-6. He's 4-6, but he's still got a lot to play for. He wins the next two, he gets to go to a bowl. And I've seen listed Independence Bowl, and it's, you know, it's a great week for the kids. And,
sure.
And makes them feel – it's amazing that going to a bowl makes you successful. And even at 6-6, you're successful. But that's neat. That gives a lot of these teams a lot left to play for down the stretch. And I think the other thing I like about Mac's team, he's got his quarterback, George, for the next 3 years.
And that kid's going to be pretty damn special.
He's special, and he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
And he's playing like he's playing. So he's off to a good start, man, because he's got the trigger guy already in place, and now he can go put the rest of it in place to go with him.
Marshall is up next at 321. Marshall, what's going on?
Hey, George. My father took me to a Vanderbilt football game when I was young, and they had a halfback by the name of Phil King. Did that name ring a bell with you?
Oh, of course. Sure.
Okay. He run about an 85-yard touchdown. And I became a Vanderbilt fan. I've been a Vanderbilt fan ever since. Can you tell me what year did he play there?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to look it up. Watson, yeah. You were closer to his age than I would have been. Anyway, Marshall, hang with me. Let me go ahead and let you hear this off air.
Okay.
And I will get you an answer here in just a second.
I'm going to say 50s, George. Would that be right?
I think you're right.
I think in the 50s. May have been late 50s.
Did Phil King not die in an auto accident?
I think you're right, something like that, but I hate to say because I'm not real sure. But
okay.
That would be worth looking up for sure.
This comes out of his Wikipedia page. was an American football running back in the NFL for the New York Giants, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Vikings. He played college football at Vandy 55-57 and was drafted in the first round of the 58 draft, nicknamed the Chief due to his Native American heritage. Okay, let's see what we've got here.
Looks like he died in 1973.
Oh, yes, and it was a tragic deal where a 38 caliber pistol discharged while he was handling it, and I did not know that. Wow, that's sad. Okay, I know we need to go to the break. We've started our weekend, but I need a couple of you on the. I'm going to go to Larry in Woodbury to lead things off. I need a couple more of you to jump in with whatever is on your mind. You've started your weekend. We want to start ours. Just kick back and talk some sports. 844-5600 is the number. Hit the phones. We're back after this.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Westwood One is the exclusive home for Monday Night Football. Hi, everyone. This is Kevin Harlan. Join Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and me Monday nights to listen to all the thrilling NFL action. Aaron Rodgers, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes. The league's top players are on display on Monday nights right here.
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Terry, sing along.
I don't think you want me to sing it.
Terry, get it right.
Get it right.
Okay, we've started our weekend, but I need a couple of phone calls. Where are you out there? I want you to pick the topic, and let's yap about it. 844-5600 is the number. Hit the phones. Larry in Woodbury. That's a rhyme, and you're up next.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Larry, you seem a little more gravelly today than normal.
I figured Cheney was probably in rehab, but he's on the phone today. That's good.
Yes, his rehab is a lot of discussion about his rehab.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But, George, that caller about you having eligibility getting recruited, he might actually get caller of the month. That was a great call, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Tell me you called with something.
Reason why I called, George, you know, I'm a longtime Vanderbilt football fan, and I'm just in a dilemma, you know. I never want to see Vanderbilt get beat or lose any games, but if we can lose, I don't think Vanderbilt's going to lose at East Tennessee State. or anything like that. But, you know, I just don't think Mason's right for the job. And, you know, if, I'm not saying I want them to lose the UT. I wish Malcolm Turner would come out and get rid of Coach Mason before the UT game so I can cheer hard and loud for my Commodores.
Okay, let's talk about this. Larry, thank you for the call. That's an interesting take on the whole deal. Terry, I think right yes. now the most alarming thing is the lack of confidence that however many Vandy fans are out there, they don't have any confidence in this staff at all.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be that way, especially on the offensive side. I think most people give Derek Mason the benefit of the doubt most times when it comes to the defense, the game in Florida maybe notwithstanding. But I think, you know, in terms of as far as what Derek Mason can do or will do to save his job, I think, you know, Chris Lee talked about the fact that if he beat Tennessee, it might be a job saver for him. You know, do you guys think that's enough? Or do you think the writing's already on the wall?
I don't know what to think anymore. And I think the next couple, 3 weeks are really going to be interesting. And I'll tell you where I've changed my tune a little bit. I do Chris Lee's podcast once a week, and one of the guys on the mailbag threw out the whole thing about, you know, are you going to hire a football coach if you're making a change while you're about to hire a new chancellor? And Watson, that's one I hadn't really thought about.
Oh, I have. I think that's a big piece of this. It's you remember I asked Chris that question yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I lose my days as
2 days ago.
Getting, as you said earlier when you said that's closer to your time zone. I caught that little shot. Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes, I did. You see, you get your little subtle shots, and then they go right by.
I learned them from Baker Mayfield.
I take my little
company.
Shots, and they're magnified immediately.
You've been at this longer than Baker Mayfield's been alive.
Hell, I've been at it longer than anybody, Terry.
No, not me. I've still got you. I've always thought that's part of this, is till you get a new AD in and they're going to do one of two things. They're going to jump real quick and get rid of everybody and start, or they're going to analyze everything that's going down and take a look at everything, not just the coach. And then basketball, he jumped quick. Football, though, to me is different. It's there's so much to be done on West End to me, George, so much. They're so far behind in the SEC in so many different ways that he's got to take a look at that, and not just to give Derek the benefit of the doubt, but how am I going to approach even the next guy if I don't keep Derek, if I let him go, how do I approach my next guy with what all I can do for him?
Yeah.
And I don't think they can put all that in place yet, so I'm a big believer, and of course you all know I've stuck up for Derek, but I'm a big believer that these next three games is going to be bigger than everybody thinks. And I think if they play tight with Kentucky and Tennessee and beat East Tennessee that Derek will be back. I don't know why. I got no grounds to say that, George. But that's just kind of where I am. If the kids just hang, play good games, and they're very good competitive, don't win them, I think that he'll be back next year. Now, if and when that happens, Derek's got some big things he's got to do. And it starts immediately with, what am I going to do with my offense? What am I going to do as an offensive coordinator? And where am I going to go get a quarterback that can lead me to the promised land? Those two things have got to be fixed.
The first thing he needs to do is go find his version of Joe Brady, you know, the guy at LSU that has turned that whole thing around. You know, I think if you're a defensive coach, you know, it's kind of like you said, Watson, if you're a defensive coach, go find the best offensive mind you can find and tell him to run that side of the ball. If you're an offensive coach, do the opposite and hire the best defensive mind that you can find. You know, and if Derek Mason survives this, I think he's got to make a concerted effort to upgrade at offensive coordinator and upgrade at quarterback somehow or other.
Well, but let's play the flip side. If you're a bright young offensive mind and you know that this coach is on this kind of hot seat, you're not coming here.
It's going to take a lot of money.
Ooh.
And it's going to take a lot of money, probably, and it's going to take years on a contract. That's the only way you're going to get a high-profile guy to come in here and take that chance, because he's also going to look, George, at what's coming back. I mean, they're losing three possible NFL guys that'll be playing in the league offense. And the quarterback situation is still in your face, even more so because Riley Neal is gone. So, you know, that's, isn't he? I think he only had 1 year to play, right?
Yeah, he's a graduate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's easier said than done for him to go get the offensive guy that can help him turn this thing around.
Brooks is up next. Brooks, welcome into WNSR.
Hey, thanks so much. Quick question for you, maybe a little bit different direction. I went to a FCS school, and this year they had to play two FBS 1A schools this year just to keep the football program going. Knowing you guys coming from some smaller schools like Belmont and UAB trying to start that program, what do you guys think the future is for formerly 1AA football? You know, we've seen more teams like App State and Georgia Southern move on to 1A and, you know, participate in that. But it seems like the FCS is kind of fading away. So I just kind of wanted to hear your opinion on that.
Great question.
Yeah, it is.
Terrific question. Watson, you start it.
Oh, I'm worried about it, George. The money is getting harder and harder on the FCS level. And it's not that it's hard to raise money on that level. It really is. So where do you get your dollars from? Your budgets are small now, and you cannot, you are at these state schools, you have to stay within budget. Private schools can work it the way they want, but state schools, you've got to stay within budget in one way or the other. And so all you can do is go play the FBSs. Great example. Went to Tennessee Tech, played 12 of them dudes. 12 of them. I mean, two of them year. 1 year went to Arkansas and then went to TCU in a two-week period. And but got very good money from them. And what scares me, George, is now the money's not as good anymore. The FBSs aren't paying the FCSs what they were 10 years ago. And so those dollars are less now, and I just think it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher on that. Now, we addressed that when I was AD at UAB and in on these FBSs and all of those meetings, and we addressed it by let's keep playing and paying these FCSs to help them a little bit.
Yeah.
And we voted, George, and don't mean to take all the time, but we in that time said, that's why we let that game count toward a bowl game, is that would let the FBSs play, because if you didn't count that game toward a bowl game, they probably, you know, the UABs of the world, any of these schools are probably not going to play them if it isn't going to help them in some way. And so we voted to let that ball game count as to get them to a bowl. And that's the reason you saw so many in the last 10 years being played.
Terry, I know I have put this out here for 10 years and nobody has bought it. But I believe there ought to be some sort of a, I don't know if you'd call it a voucher system or whatever, where if Missouri will go play the little guy at their place, they get something that is of benefit to them. Look, I saw it a couple of years ago. I looked a lot smarter when Vandy would come play Belmont. You know, and we sell the place out, and we haven't got a seat available, and we sell more season tickets than we had ever sold because a Power 5 said, we'll come play you at your place. Just a thought. I don't know what it is I'm really proposing, but if we had a system where the big guy, it was to their advantage to go play at the little guy every once in a while, life would be a little better.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, the question is, what do you make that incentive? You know, a lot of times, you know, you have seen it work with the non-Power Fives. They'll do a two-for-one trade with a Power Five and go, you know, where you might get a Kentucky that comes and plays a game at MTSU in exchange for the Blue Raiders going there twice. And then when you drop it down and you're talking about the FCS level, you know, I don't know what you'd have to offer to get the incentive to get, you know, the Power Fives to come there, but surely there could be some benefit to it.
Brooks, so far it's the question of the day.
All right. I had a follow-up there. Different direction. Do you still have that 10-day contract with the Golden State Warriors? I'm still trying to get that mental picture out of my head from a few weeks ago.
Well, I'll say this. I think they're one injury away from calling me.
You know, they're down about four or five guards. So.
Yeah. No, I'm
Brooks,
more of
the
a...
The image. Don't forget the image, bud. Just see him in that uniform. Just the image of that.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Surely there's a technically savvy listener that can take that and Photoshop it and make that a meme that we can all share.
That may be something I'll put on Twitter later tonight, Terry.
Oh, gracious.
Terry.
Gracious.
Remember, George, you wanted to be a part of this show.
I know.
Oh, now here come the threats, baby. Here come the threats. I wondered when it was finally going to reach that.
844-5600 is the number. We do have a line open. Eric, you are up next.
George, you know when you start begging for phone calls, I got to help you out.
And I appreciate that.
Hey, listen, well, before I get to, I was going to talk about the Pittsburgh and Cleveland game last night, but before I get to that, Watson, I just want to say I agree with you 100% about what you said about Derek Mason. I think if he beats East Tennessee State, and I think if he loses close to Kentucky and Tennessee, I think he's back. But if he gets embarrassed by both of those schools, then I would say all bets are off. He can't have what happened last week against Florida happen against both Kentucky and Tennessee, or I think it's a big trouble. I'm surprised, like I said, we missed the line that Kentucky was like about a 10.5-point favorite. I couldn't believe that. I thought they might be favored, but not by that much. Guys, as far as the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game goes last night, I couldn't unfortunately stay up to see it because, in fact, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to work at 6. So I went to bed and was 14-0 about midway through the third quarter thing that Cleveland was going to go ahead and win. I heard about it when I woke up about 12:45 in the morning because I used to keep my radio turned down, turned on to an on-device sports station because that was what the game was on. And then when I heard about it, I couldn't believe it. I said, well, I've got to see it on sports. And when I see it, I still couldn't believe it. And basically, they had comments from all parties. I think the only one that didn't comment on was Mike Tomlin. He said he had no comment. He said the film speaks for itself. But I think, to me, not only should Myles Garrett be suspended indefinitely like the rest of this year, I think he should be fined on top of that. I'd fine him about $500,000. You got to say that stuff like that just cannot be tolerated. When I saw it, I still couldn't believe it. And you were right when you talked about it earlier. It was just fortunate. It could have been far worse. Like, he could have been killed or concussion, just anything. And just what possesses somebody to do something like that? George, it's always good to talk to you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Eric, thank you. Terry, let me ask you this. Was there a fine involved in this?
I don't know. I know he was suspended without pay, but I don't know if they levied an additional fine or not. I did not see that in what I read online before we went on the air, but it wouldn't shock me. I know both teams were fined $250,000 for it, but as I heard somebody say, that's a drop in the bucket to ownership. But I think they probably should get into Garrett's pocket a little bit, even beyond the suspension without pay.
Jay?
From what I saw earlier this morning, I saw $3 million. Fine. But I'm retracing
wait a minute.
My
Hold
steps.
On a second. Myles Garrett was not fined $3 million. Good Lord, no.
Okay, I'm just saying. I thought that's what I seen. That's what I'm
that
looking
may
for.
Be the amount of salary he's losing.
That might be what it is.
They're talking about what that, I was fixing to say, guys. That's more than a fine. You suspend him without pay the rest
now
of
that's,
the year.
Now, yeah,
that's a whole lot of money,
right?
Guys. So he's getting. If that's the case, He's losing a lot of cash.
So, Jay, let's go with semantics there.
Yeah.
Whether it's fine or whatever, you're right about one thing. It's getting up into the millions what this is costing him.
That's what it is. It's $3 million. Yes.
Okay. We're going to go to the break at 3:43. I've got a couple of lines open. We'll start with Clay after the break, but I want to hear from a couple of more of you who have already started your weekend. You've gotten out of work early. You're on the road traveling. You pick out the topic. 844-5600 is the number. We'll get to you pretty quickly, and we're back after this.
With the holiday season right around the corner, you're bound to have a lot on your plate. Let Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel take one of those plates from you and put some great food on it. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is hosting their Thanksgiving brunch from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. so you can check one of the many things off of your holiday to-do list, and that's feed people. You can bring those people to Kitchen Notes for the Thanksgiving brunch and let Kitchen Notes worry about feeding your family and friends for you. Serving up all your traditional favorites, Kitchen Notes will have something for everyone. From rosemary turkey at the carving station to the sweet potato casserole. From the roasted lamb to the grand biscuit table. There's even a kids menu. Bring your whole family to Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel for the Thanksgiving brunch from 9 till 2. This holiday season, take something off of your plate and let Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel put something great on a plate for you. His favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine. Magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. Whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, with an impressive array of wine and spirits to choose from. How many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? When you ask for help, they know less than you do. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. Looking for gift ideas? They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Napa know-how.
Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 11/30/19.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio. Class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy, now Sir Speedy Music City. I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are the same people that you've come to love, and that's Sir Speedy Berry Hill is now Sir Speedy Music City. We did that just to be a part of the community that we're in and show our love for Music City. Even though we go all over the Southeast, we do most of our business here, and we love this city.
Phone number and the website.
615-832-9511 or SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Who was the company that heard the ad?
Donut Distillery over in East Nashville heard the ad and said, if you know George, then we'll do business with you.
Boy, that is scary. But here's the bottom line. You go in and see them, and when you do, you tell them Plaz sent you.
From the Max 96.7 WeatherBug Weather Center. For this afternoon, we'll see plenty of sunshine with temperatures near 50. It'll be mainly clear tonight, low 26. Saturday, sunny, high 54. Plenty of sunshine Sunday at the high 56. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Thank you.
Bay City Rollers. I want to say in the 70s?
72.
1972. Wow. Do you have it, Terry?
75.
Was it 75?
75, I thought.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Okay. Okay, one.
The song came out when I was in about the seventh grade.
Yeah. One final segment. In a day where there has been very little feel good, I got one. The legendary Bill Russell says he's finally ready to be a Hall of Famer. The 11-time NBA champion, 5-time most valuable player, Olympic gold medalist, and 2-time NCAA champion said on Twitter today that he was presented with his Hall of Fame ring in a private ceremony that came 4 decades after he was first selected for the Shrine in Springfield, Mass. He didn't attend his induction ceremony in 75. He says he didn't deserve to be the first black player inducted. He tweeted that, quote, "I felt others before me should have that honor." How about that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Unbelievable.
That's fantastic. I mean, maybe the best player to ever play. He'd be right up there in my book.
Oh.
And for him to say that, and I didn't realize that's the reason he didn't go.
I didn't know that either.
I love it.
We've learned something today.
We did.
Clay, line 3, welcome into WNSR at 350.
George, before I get into my, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Vandy basketball game last night, but I wanted to tell you that I am rooting hard for the Wyoming Cowboys for your sake, so that Togi can't give you such a hard time next Thursday and play 1 is the loneliest number and just basically pick on you for 30 minutes.
Yeah, very unprofessional. And listen, these other two are enjoying it as well. Don't think for a minute that they've risen to any level of professionalism that's any better than Pogi. They haven't.
George, I thought it was really unfortunate the way that basketball game ended last night. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I think Vanderbilt got hosed. I thought the kids played, for the most part, a really good game. I thought they played hard. It's obvious to me that Coach Stackhouse, already 3 games in, has his team buying what he's selling. I thought it was a terrific college basketball game with a very unfortunate ending.
93-92, Richmond at home in overtime. So, Clay, it does seem like what they've figured out is that the way they're going to have to skin the cat, Neesmith is going to have to be Michael Jordan, and then Saban Lee has got to be the complementary, and the two of them during the SEC are going to have to get 35 to 40 a night.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's got to figure out a way to, whether it's Michael Moyer, whether it's Obina. I know we're getting really nothing from either one of them so far, but if Stackhouse could somehow coach him up to a point where we could, you know, get something out of him, I still have, you know, a positive feeling about this team. Am I saying they'll make the NCAA tournament? No, I'm not. But, I mean, if they win more games than they lose, are competitive in the SEC and make the NIT, I think that would be an incredibly successful first season for Jerry Stackhouse.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're coming off 0-19 in the SEC, you know, you can sit there and say baby steps. First of all, there's no pressure on him at all. Really, all he's got to get out of them right now is to play hard every night and to show some progress, to show that in February – they're better than they are in November. So they need to kick back and enjoy the process of trying to bring this back a little bit. Even though they didn't win last night, it sounds like they took a step towards something better.
I mean, if you're going to go to review, and my guess, I felt like maybe originally they went to, you know, the monitor to see if there was time left on the clock. But, I mean, if there's not a foul call, you know, out on the floor before they go to the monitor to look at whatever they were looking at, I've just never seen that happen before.
That's a new one.
I mean, seriously, have you ever seen that happen before?
No, that's a new one. But we're getting so many new things in replay, and not all of it's good. At some point, we're going to have to trim it all down a little bit.
So I think Jerry has been officially baptized by his first really poor officiating call.
Listen, you have a good weekend. Appreciate your call.
Y'all have a good weekend.
Terry, it seems to me that the Saints-Rams play from a year ago that we have all seen that was clearly pass interference, in an attempt by all these leagues to cover their butt, they have gotten now so many different new ways of going to replay. At some point, we got to come to our senses and say, enough's enough.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think, you know, you can have too many angles almost. And, you know, because you know as well as I do, George, if you're watching, let's say, challenging a spot in football, you know, where it's fourth and one and somebody challenges the spot to know whether or not the angle that you have sometimes can throw off your vantage point, as and you can think that it is when it isn't or whatever. And, you know, I think you just do the best you can and live with it. I think, you know, the way all the technology is now in virtually every sport, it's, you know, it's almost overkill. You know, I'll put it in baseball terms. I like the fact that they can use baseball, that they can use replay to get close calls right on the bases. But don't you miss the heck out of the manager going out there and arguing with the umpire and seeing that sort of goings on during the middle of the game? To me, that's a part of the game that's been lost forever because of the technology.
Oh, gosh. Earl Weaver and Billy Martin would have no clue how to handle this.
They'd probably give the commissioner a cussing.
Yeah. So, Watson, where would you go with it? What, where would it all – because am I right, in your years at Tennessee Tech, you all did not have replay, did you?
No, none. You had it in the playoffs. When you go to the playoffs, but you did not have it in the regular season.
Yeah.
Or George, we can do it like the NFL. You can put in a new rule of pass interference and let the coaches throw the flag for it, but then not call one pass interference to the point that the coaches quit throwing the flags now. They just let it go.
That deal is a total sham.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous when they put that in. It was all over the play that you just talked about to start this off. And yet they're not throwing. Now the coaches just said, heck with it. That's pass interference, but I'm not throwing my flag because they're not going to change it anyway. So sooner or later it's got to slow down. Everybody's jumping on it. Baseball's getting in on it now. Everybody. And it's got to slow down because the game is played by humans. It's played by people, by young guys that are going to make mistakes. I've always said, why couldn't we keep the game? Everything is by humans. What's wrong with an official making a mistake just like a kid makes a mistake? I mean, it's all part of the game to me.
Well,
of course. Right, and you're going to get some wrong. And
yeah,
I know, but where you're fixing the head, you're going to say, well, it's costing somebody a game.
Sure.
It's been costing somebody a game since they started playing sport. And I just don't know. I don't know that when we head toward the computerized instant replays to everything, that it is now a human game anymore.
So, Terry, when the NFL agreed to this deal where the coaches can challenge pass interference, who sent the memo out saying, oh, by the way, you can do this, but hell will freeze over before we ever change it?
That's a good question. That is a really good question.
Because it's clear that they've done that.
But it does appear that either the head of officiating or Roger Goodell or the chairman of the competition committee, somebody along the line has gotten in somebody's ear and said, hey, let's not get carried away with this.
Okay, let's end the hour this way. Watson, you got one game to watch tomorrow, and it's not Georgia-Auburn. What is it?
I think Oklahoma-Baylor or Minnesota-Iowa. That would be my two picks.
Terry?
I would have to go with Oklahoma-Baylor. I think that's going to be one of the games of the day just because it has so much riding on.
Yeah. On the Minnesota-Iowa one, I just really wonder how in the world P.J. Fleck can get – because that was such an emotional, like tearing down the Berlin Wall kind of feel to it last week when they get Penn State. How in the world do they somehow get past that and bring the emotion that's going to be needed tomorrow? Because that's no easy team they're trying to beat in Iowa.
No, ooh. And they're an underdog, and that may be worse.
There's the music. The weekend has started. We're done. Watson, have a good weekend.
Stay out of trouble, George, and I'll see you Monday.
Terry, you have a good weekend.
All right. See you, George. See you Monday.
Jay, have a good weekend.
You do the same, George.
Thank you. All of you, have a great weekend, but know that Johnny Ballpark Franks is next.